And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down to some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show right here. I'm talking about it goes from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! Big old patches of North Georgia, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And oh, by the way, that's just the radio. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web. Logging in to the live stream, audio and video, places like X, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you podcasters, tons of you, tons of podcasters who catch it after the fact. Listen, I say all that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but what I'm saying there is we can see all the different ways you guys catch the show, and it means the world to us that you do. So thank you very much. Thank you for engaging with us. Thank you for being a part of our lives. You're the only reason why we do it. So there's that. I gotta say, my next dipper here I'm gonna jump into in a moment, military minded, leads off with what is happening with the war and the drug cartels. Make no mistake, we have troops in harm's way right now, people doing stuff. It is a very kinetic level of activity, not static at all. It is kinetic. And we're watching as things are blowing up and interdictions are being made and emphasis is being placed with military force to back it. And as I'm sitting here right now, I will say this. President Trump is holding a law enforcement roundtable at the White House live on one of my screens, which you can guess is not CNN. But he's holding the law enforcement roundtable. He just finished saying a minute ago that he believes that drug cartels are indeed a core national security issue. That's a big deal. To label it a core national security issue sort of takes things to the next level. I mean, he's already declared drug cartels to be terrorist entities. And so as entities of terror, it engages the process differently. Now, as he's naming them as a core issue of national security, what that means is emphasis has now been placed. It's not just that this is something that the Department of War can also engage in. It's saying this can be engaged, and my emphasis as president, as commander-in-chief, is on it. I'll tell you what, I was going to read some more text messages, but let me just go ahead and engage the topic since I'm on it right now. I've got the first article here from Fox. I hold it in my callous former paratrooper hands, and I will just tell you, this came out about 6 days ago. It says, Trump's war on the cartels enters a new phase as experts predict what is next. Okay, think about this. Where is this going? What could you see happening? What are the phases? Military operations typically run in phase lines. They typically cross over a milestone. In a phased military operation, it may have certain elements that have to be achieved before you arrive at the next phase. Sometimes a phase line is geographic on a map. Cross phase line blue, cross phase line red, you're reporting back. It's an ID issue. It's where you can tell the higher headquarters where you are by just calling out a phase line. But a phased operation is one that you're doing that has certain levels of achievement that have to be met before you can enter the next phase. What we're watching right now is a potentially phased operation against the cartels. Story I've got here says the armed conflict with the cartels is real. It goes on to say that just the other day, another suspected drug vessel boat off the coast of Venezuela was taken out by U.S. military forces. That one killed 6 suspected drug smugglers. At the time, that was the 5th. I will tell you right now, by the time this article was in my hands for the show, we now have 7. There have been 7 boats taken out by U.S. military. White House sent Congress a memo about 2.5 weeks ago, informing Congress that the White House believes the U.S. is now participating in what it called a non-international armed conflict with drug smugglers. Non-international, what does that mean? These are not geographic entities. These are not nation states. These are non-nation state entities that are operating much like an Al-Qaeda that doesn't have territory of its own. It doesn't have a geography. There's no international borders. But what it does have is a hierarchy, an organization, and an ideology, and an action that can all be addressed. So we're watching right now. It says the U.S. has now amassed an impressive collection of naval and air assets stationed around Venezuela, a country whose socialist dictator Nicolas Maduro, the Trump administration, has accused of being in league with the cartels. Experts say, here we go, and the experts are, by the way, quoted by name. It's not unnamed sources. Experts say these strikes could mark the start of a broader military campaign targeting cartel logistics and the command networks. Okay. First thing you do in most military operations, achieve air dominance. In this case, we're achieving dominance in terms of the ability to traffic the drugs. So taking out the boats, one of the things that I read a moment ago that I may get to just in terms of quoting it, is that the cartels have felt safe in using their boat operations because no one's ever truly challenged them in great detail on it. As we begin to blow up boats, they may take to the air, and it says to go ahead and expect then that we might start taking down planes. Brace yourselves for that. But then it goes on to say, the very first phase in all of this was shutting down the U.S. border. That was the poorest, you know, geography that we had to shut down first. So we have now shut down the border. He said, next, the U.S. will need to hit the cartel command nodes. And that's it. You want to hit their C2, their command and control elements. You want to take out their ability to communicate. You want to take out their leadership. You want to take out their ability to lead, guide, and direct their minions. So hitting the cartel command nodes. One of the ways they're doing that already, which I'm encouraged to hear this, by the way, is that Mexico is said to be really targeting drug labs in a hard way, more so than it's ever done. And it says that the article says they are aggressively going after the cartels, actually repatriating some of the people they capture and sending them back to the U.S. for trial in U.S. courts. Gotta love that. Glad to hear it. Hope it's true. It also says then we might expect next the focus to shift to their logistical or their transport nodes. And how do we do that? Well, there's transatlantic routes out of Africa and Europe that bring the drug, you know, the elements from which the drugs are concocted, and beginning to take those out at their core, at their root, is how you undermine the ability then of the cartels to even manufacture. And then it says the sea strikes are going to continue if cartels start to shift to the air. They may rely on airplanes, at which point we'll be taking out planes. That's amazing when you stop and think about it. I've heard about the war on drugs all my life. I have. The war on drugs. Unwinnable. The war on drugs. We're just going to keep plugging away. But no one ever really wanted to get in there and get busy. Now what you're watching is what is often referred to as a whole-of-government approach. In fact, let me grab this article. Hang on. Where's that one I've got? Here it is. I pulled this one off of Woke Spy. Woke Spy talks about what all is there right now in terms of the deployment. And Woke Spy also talks about how much is able to be brought to bear in the midst of a declaration of these cartels being considered terror organizations. At that point, it's not just the ability of the Trump administration to act like, you know, in terms of, you know, taking action against the cartels for criminal prosecution. Designating them that way allows Treasury to seize assets. It allows Department of Justice to have arrest authority. It allows the CIA to take certain actions across borders. It allows the military to engage. It's a whole of government approach. But what has the military got, since this Dipper is military minded? How about this? Story off of Woke Spy. The current deployment includes thousands of American troops. The Pentagon estimates it has deployed roughly 10,000 military personnel currently operating in the Caribbean area in relation to the war on drugs. U.S. Air Force B-52 Stratofortress bombers and Marine Corps F-35s recently conducted a demonstration near Venezuela's coast. That's a show of force. At least 7 U.S. Navy warships and 1 nuclear submarine are believed to be operating in the Caribbean. That's a show of force. And then there's Puerto Rico. Picture Puerto Rico as being like a land-based aircraft carrier right now. Puerto Rico, 10 F-35 fighters and 3 MQ-9 Reaper drones have been deployed, transforming the island into a key logistics hub. Here's the thing. They actually went to Naval Air Station Roosevelt Roads, Rosie Roads. So Rosie Roads has been closed since 2004. The military just reopened it for use. They just re-engaged the airstrip, went in there, cleaned up the toilets, and got to work. So Rosie Roads has now been reactivated for its operations. An AC-130 Ghost Rider gunship If you've ever, I call him Spectre. Have you ever seen Spectre in operation? Whew. Listen, that thing's a beast. Special Operations Aviation and MH-6 Little Birds and MH-60 Blackhawks have been spotted in Trinidad Tobago here recently. All said and done, we have a massive military presence that has just engaged what I would call full-spectrum warfare in the Caribbean against the drug cartels. Now, right now, most of it has been limited scope in terms of, you know, the actual kinetic activity. But y'all, drug cartels are getting the message. How deep they're going to get it, if they're really going to stop, keep in mind, they make billions of dollars off of us. The cartels aren't going to give that away right soon. So we have to stay on our toes, and we'll see where it goes. But right now, the war on drugs, the military, if you're military-minded, the military has a huge role right now in that whole-of-government approach to the cartels.
Stay on your toes, see what goes. See how it goes.
Yeah. I just write that down, make a bumper sticker out of it.
You're just doing it without even trying.
All right, take it to a break, JP. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. I got some other stuff about the military you might want to know. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Hey, I'm on this Dipper, military-minded. In a moment, I'll get some text messages. I see some military text messages coming through. So if you got any thoughts on this, I'd love to hear them. Your thoughts on the use of the military and the war on drugs. Here's an article that came off of Fox, but I'm watching right now as Trump is still speaking at that law enforcement roundtable, and Secretary of War Pete Hegseth just spoke. And if I gathered what I gathered correctly from the subtitles on the page, or the little chyron on the bottom of the page, it appeared he was talking about what's in my hand right now. As to the war on drugs, last thing I think I've got on that is that the Trump administration is considering right now, since they've declared narco traffickers to be narco terrorists, and in engaging them in a military capacity out in open waters. Can they also do that on our southern border? Trump has already said, article here from Fox, Dateline yesterday, he says there's very few boats traveling the waters, so now they'll probably come in by land, to a lesser extent, he says, but they'll be hit on land also. And then he was questioned on that further. He said, we do believe we have the legal authority to do that. If we do it by land, we may have to go back to Congress and explain what we're doing, but we don't know that we have to do that. He said it's a national security problem. They killed 300,000 Americans last year. That gives you legal authority. What he's basically saying is the U.S. military may wind up taking a role, not just for the purposes of border interdiction and enforcement and augmenting CBP. They may actually take the fight to the border and start basically thwacking people as they're trying to traffic drugs across the land border. I mean, this is a whole new day, y'all, and that's definitely a different level, because that's not unfounded, by the way. Posse Comitatus is the law that prevents the use of military force or federal military forces on U.S. soil, but it's not entirely prohibitive. There are issues in which matters of national security or the rescue of life, limb, and property that the U.S. military can be engaged, not National Guard, I'm talking about federal forces, on U.S. soil. But here's the thing. There's also been precedent for this. If you think back to just prior to World War I, read your history, back to just prior to World War I, Pancho Villa, Mexican bandit, cross-border incursions. He came over and actually burned a whole town, I believe, in Arizona. And this was a thing. We actually sent an amazing amount of military forces down there, which actually crossed into Mexico and spent a year chasing Pancho Villa around and fighting with Mexican bandits. So it won't be the first time, but we'll see what happens. A couple more things on military-minded, and I may not get it all for the top of the break, but I found this interesting. Let's shift gears a little bit. What's going on with the government shutdown? Well, like I said, temper tantrum still going on. But you know what's also really irritating? Those things that drop through the cracks? It's not like, oh, everybody didn't get paid. That's a thing. That's a big deal, yes. But then there's those people that are in, you know, the middle of their terminal leave. their tour of service is actually coming to a close, and they're just about to exit, and now you can't process final pay. What do you do? Well, the Army just issued something. Task and Purpose has this article, came out yesterday. Some of this is going to interest some of y'all. It says the Army is now extending the tour of service for soldiers with upcoming separation dates by 45 days in order to get past what it believes is going to be the federal government shutdown. So basically, you got people. I mean, the second and third order effects of what the Democrats are doing are huge. It's not just a well, you know, we shut down government, so for about, 4 weeks, we weren't able to see people who work for the IRS get their paychecks. Like that's not enough, but anyway. Then there's things like this. You've got people who were PCSing out of the military, moving their families. Now they can't leave. Now that new job they're about to start or that new school semester they were going to take on all may be delayed. And then you got the institution of VA benefits, GI Bill benefits, and you're like, everything's getting jimmied up by this. You've got thousands right now of military service members who did an honorable service, finished out their contract, and were due to depart service and clear post and PCS out, and now they can't. And so they're delayed. But then what does that do on post? Oh, let's see. Wait a minute. You haven't cleared housing yet, but we had somebody coming in that needed your housing. But now we can't get to your housing because you're still in it. When are you going to leave? We have no idea. It's extended 45 days with a likely extension if it keeps going. Can you see the second, third order, fifth order effects of this? So all I'm saying is the military's already recognized the problem. They're having to extend tours of duty for an additional 45 days. But the implications of that are also huge because what does that do? It keeps people on the payroll. It slows down their benefits. It prevents them from PCSing. It cancels movement contracts. It jimmies up base housing. It's a freaking mess. Kids enrolling in schools, the whole thing. It's all said and done. Democrats need to make them own this. Own it, y'all. Own it. What have I got here that I can finish up before we get into the last piece? There's a question of whether or not the National Guard can be deployed in some of these crises that are occurring around and about. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals just ruled that Trump is allowed to deploy the National Guard to Portland. However, then you got the Solicitor General in Illinois basically trying to put the kibosh on deployment of National Guard to Chicago. You know what's going to wind up having to happen here? I got two articles, one from Red State, one from Fox. And I'm just telling you, the sooner or later, the Supreme Court of the United States is going to have to weigh in again and say, look, all of you, like Ninth Circuit's doing it one way, Third Circuit might be doing it another way. What it basically means is when you have conflicting opinions, there are times when the court has to get involved in order to bring resolve and congruity to the laws. And the employment of National Guard is apparently a big deal. All right, you guys, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'll start getting some text messages. I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on the military stuff. What do you think about the use of the military deployed against drug cartels and whether or not that could even be on land at the southern border? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey folks, Phil Williams here. I want to remind you that Inspire Advisors is one of our sponsors and they are doing amazing work. Look, I know this audience. You're the kind of folks who believe in standing up for your principles. You're good stewards of your resources. But what if the companies you were investing in don't reflect your values at all? Well, that's why you need to meet Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. Because Inspire Advisors, they are experts in the field of biblically responsible investing. They can help you grow your bottom line while also be proud of what companies you're investing in. Inspire Advisors, check them out. Their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com, and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio.
Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a thankful Thursday. You know what? I want to hear the sound effect again. Thankful Thursday. Play it.
You got to be more thankful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. You're a gentleman and a scholar.
We thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell.
Have you said thank you once?
Thank you.
There it is. Thank you. I like it. Ton of text messages. Let me catch up on some of these. Let's see. We got somebody, first-time texter, JP. Do you see it? Wow. Okay, good Lord. First-time texter who did not waste any time getting a long text. Let's see what we got. If I can get some of this in. He says, howdy, first-time texter show. Not to be presumptuous because I don't know the inner workings of D.C., but I do have feasible ideas to turn this government shutdown into the Democrats' worst October possible of all time. And it could be done by President Trump keeping a campaign promise he's made for both terms. If we could open up interstate commerce for health insurance companies, okay, they would have to fight it out for the free market, giving Americans better premiums. And while the Democrats, he says, he, she, whoever, have said, made the shutdown about the Obamacare subsidies, we could take the wind right out of their sails by rendering those subsidies pointless. Okay, I hear what you're saying, and I see that, and I do believe that is something that's been discussed. They are hot on the mantra right now that the Affordable Care Act is not affordable, and it's going to take things like this to get it done. Great text. I appreciate that. I appreciate the detail you put into it. By the way, that was a well thought out text, which I'm looking at this going, this is an expert. This is not a casual listener.
Yeah.
But anyway, I do believe that, an open marketplace that actually has a free and fair market so you can choose and have portability in your coverage can be enhanced. And all that does is create the competition, the free market that drives the prices down, gives folks better premiums, get rid of some of the lock and stock and the outright monopolies that some companies seem to have. Kimball from Harvest says, Phil, if the U.S. military, along with the reserve components, is not used for the defense of our homeland, what else would it be used for? Maybe expeditionary purposes? Of course we should use these assets wisely for the defense of our homeland and shores. The cartels are above and beyond mere lawbreaking. They're serious threats to our homeland. Why wouldn't we send our forces where they are needed to decisively eliminate the threats? Kimball from Harvest. Because of Title 10 of the U.S. Code. So the use of the U.S. military federally on U.S. soil can be declared as a matter of law. The president has authority, but what he's saying right now is they are considering that as a offensive operation as opposed to a defensive operation, which is where it's been right now. We have been in a defensive and logistical posture working with CBP and others who have border authorities, National Guard oftentimes having the lead because they're in Title 32 of the U.S. Code, which is in a different category, and they can do things without having to be federalized. But federal troops, offensive operations, hunter-killer missions, special operations, maybe even, you know, targeted drone strikes and that kind of thing, that's a different capacity. We might even be talking about cross-border incursion. So all I'm saying is it just has a different feel. It's not like we can't do it.
Well, let me ask this, though. I don't want to, you know, go down too far for rabbit trail on this, but, you know, I'm all for the airstrikes because, like, what was it, Kimball said, well, what else would our military be used for, defending the homeland of boats that are coming here with drugs and such, and the same with the border. I know, but with the buildup outside of Venezuela, there's a lot of people that are wondering if we're about to see a boots-on-the-ground regime change operation with Maduro and Venezuela.
Maduro?
Yeah. What are the odds you think that we're going to see something like that? Because, like I said, I'm all for, like, this is what the military is used for, but regime change operation getting entangled in another thing like that does make me a little concerned and worried. Not like I'm a Maduro fan, but I don't want to get, you know, entangled in something like that. But I'm just wondering, you know, what do you think the thought of the possibility is for that to happen?
I don't think it's off the table. I think so. First of all, let's take it two ways. We're wrong not to plan it. When I say that, all I'm saying is, you don't want to be developing your plans when it's already too late.
Yeah.
So I would guarantee you that there is a contingency operation already in place that looks a lot like Panama 1989. Now, are we going to execute it? That's an entirely different matter. I think that the Pentagon has to have its contingency ops on the shelf and ready to roll. But I don't have the sense right now that we're looking at regime change. I'm not going to be surprised, though, to see us continue to do strikes, maybe even strikes on Venezuelan soil, like taking out a drug lab or taking out a logistical hub, and then stepping back and going, now what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And then at some point, the heat and the international pressure on Maduro may actually cause him to fall from grace on his own by his own people's actions, as opposed to us having to go in there and conduct regime change. I don't think Maduro is long for the office. I think he's going to try and hang on because that's what tyrants do. But I don't think he's there for a long time. But I do not feel like we're going to wind up having to see – okay, two things. I do not think right now, under current conditions, we're going to see the U.S. military go on land and then basically topple the regime.
Yeah.
All right. The kicker would be is if Maduro got so cocky that he did something that then triggered loss of life to U.S. troops or in some way endangered a U.S. interest. If that happens, it could be a game changer. Yeah. Keep in mind, like the invasion of Grenada, part of the invasion of Grenada was the fear of Cuban and Russian troops, you know, on that soil establishing operations. But the other piece of it was there were American medical students there at a medical school that were pretty much held hostage, and it was a rescue mission as much as anything.
Yeah.
So there are things that happen.
And I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, Trump gave the CIA permission to do, you know, operations
That's right.
in Venezuela.
I've forgotten that.
And the CIA is a paramilitary.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even though if it's not like a declared war, U.S. boots on the ground, the CIA may just, you know, out of sight, y'all can do what you got to do. I don't know. I do worry about, you know, a declared war boots on the ground situation, but hopefully the CIA can do whatever they need to do.
We'll see. Let's don't do a bag of pigs, but yeah, let's see.
Not that, for sure.
By the way, our new texter is Noel from Athens. And Noel, I'm going to ask you one more question. I want to make sure, I don't know if I have a female Noel or a male Noel. So if you sure. could tell us male or female, we'll log that so that we're always referring to you correctly. But thanks for being the new texter in the system. We appreciate that very much. Jenkins from Sneed, Alabama, sends me a meme. What's he got? It says, it's a meme, and it says, a president, a king, and a woman walk into a bar, and the liberals can't tell who's who. Perfect. Kevin from Hartsell says, the oath says defense against foreign, against enemies, foreign and domestic. I think he was trying to say. It does. You're right. Tom from Decatur says, I believe the main military drug enforcement troops should be taken mostly from the reserve units with detachments of active duty and a training and advisory capacity for drug enforcement actions. Okay. He said, with today's wars and world hotspots and unrest, the active duty service members must be ready for immediate deployment and engagements. I see what you're saying. And I'm not going to be a bit surprised to see that we have some folks that do a rotation, and it'll be like a brigade size element in certain places as a QRF or a ready force. But there's going to be some pieces that have to get drawn in, like drone activity and that kind of stuff that are, you have unmanned aerial or, for that matter, you know, combat drones like Predators and Reapers. And by the way, Noel, male, go ahead and log it down. Oh, you already did. You're fast. All right. We got you, Noel. Thanks, dude. Jeff from Indiana says, my thinking is tell Mexico to clean up its drug cartels and offer them all the assistance they would need, or put such heavy sanctions on them it would bankrupt the country if they do not. I agree. I think that's what they're doing. As far as drugs coming into the other routes, do a naval and air blockade at the edge of U.S. waters and airspace and eliminate by force any vessel or airplane that does not comply. Jeff, for Secretary of War, in my opinion. He's not just a pretty face driving a truck. Man knows stuff. Tom with All the Kids in Huntsville says, in the 80s and early 90s, my reserve aviation unit did counter-narcotics missions. At the time, it was kind of a summer extra duty. Good chance to pick up some money. Yeah, so I was a LRS platoon leader, long-range surveillance, and we had guys that, because we were all LRS qualified, we had guys in my unit that wound up doing counter-drug operations. They basically come to drill and then go home and go back out to the bush, and they were hunting down pot fields and doing surveillance ops and all kinds of stuff because they were guardsmen. They could do that. We were all kind of jealous, too, by the way. Last one, Allie from Athens. We have two texts?
Yeah, there's okay. one before from your
okay,
monologue.
I see it. Yeah, it says, oh, okay, for the monologue, she says, thank God for honor violations, Colonel. I'm glad the guy got kicked out for stealing a candy bar, and I'm glad that he learned his lesson and made a true comeback. Yes, indeed. He was, by the way, he was an inspiration. Combat Spoon, we like to call him. And then she says, I rarely text two times in one day, as you will know, Colonel. However, having lived in the middle of the Waters cartel, yes, I recall that, and having the cartel bash in the side of my house while I was in it, and Steve was on the El Paso side picking up milk for Mexican children, said I have absolutely no problem with the United States getting involved with treating the cartels like the enemy that they are. I say bring it. Allie has done more in her lifetime than five people that I know. But it's true.
I can tell.
Yeah, she is.
And that's where her wisdom comes from.
Exactly. We got plenty more texts. I can't even get to them all yet. When we come back, too, we also got a breaking news story that JP is going to fill us in about a gambling scandal in the NBA. Good Lord. I mean, like, Wow.
Major.
Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.